This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everyone. We're back. Yes, we are. We are back. Hey, do any of you own an assault weapon out there? I'm just wondering if any of you own an assault weapon. I mean, you know, you're anonymous when you call in here. I don't know who you are. Pat doesn't know who you are. And we just, I'm just wondering if any of you own an assault weapon. And if you do, who you plan on assaulting with it. Well, I mean, you know, if you're going to define something by some made-up term, you may as well, you know, use it in common vernacular, right? So what is an assault weapon, by the way, Pat? Do you know what an assault weapon is? A weapon to assault someone with. Yeah, that could be a baseball bat, I guess. Maybe a meat tenderizer. How about a, crowbar, tire iron? We had a fellow murdered. We had a fellow with my same name that was murdered by a tire iron, wielding felon. A friend of mine had heard that this guy with the same name as mine had been murdered. He thought it was me, and finally called my wife and left this almost sobbing message on our answering machine one time. That was years ago. Turned out it wasn't me. Thank goodness I'm still here to talk to you about assault weapons. What's an assault weapon? Does anybody have, can someone define an assault weapon for me? Or if you own one, can you tell me what you own? I'm not trying to bait anybody. I'm just trying to, you know, get some information. Well, why do I bring that up? Well, I would simply bring that up because our illustrious senator from California, Dianne Feinstein, has announced this week that she is going to reintroduce an assault weapon ban in Congress. Dianne Feinstein, this is from 89.3 KPCC Southern California Public Radio. The headline says, Senator Dianne Feinstein says she'll reintroduce assault weapon legislation. This is this week, September 5th, 3 days ago. Dianne Feinstein announced Wednesday that she's reentering the battle over gun control during her keynote speech to the California delegates to the Democratic National Convention. Feinstein was president of the San Francisco's Board of Supervisors on what she calls the city's Day of Infamy in 1978, when a former colleague shot and killed Harvey Milk and Mayor George Moscone. And I would urge you to check that day out and see the reasons behind that. Since then, Senator Feinstein has been one of the most vocal proponents of gun control on Capitol Hill. She promised California delegates she'd return to Congress to reintroduce an updated assault weapons bill. At the delegates' breakfast, she said that weapons of war do not belong on our streets, in our classrooms, or in our schools, or our movie theaters. Feinstein co-sponsored an assault weapons ban signed into law in 1994, which expired 10 years later. Do you support Senator Feinstein's plan to reintroduce an updated assault weapons bill? And that's the question asked by the reporter, whose name is Kelly Feld, who is the Washington, D.C. correspondent. Let's see what John in Pasadena has to say about an assault weapon, and then Richard in Westminster. Good morning, guys. How you doing, John?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
By the legal definition, an assault weapon is something that's capable of fully automatic fire.
Mm-hmm.
People like Feinstein have no idea if it has a bayonet attachment, if it looks military-ish, whatever, then that's a quote-unquote assault weapon in her eyes. She doesn't know the law.
Right.
She's, you know.
Well, haven't, quote, fully automatic assault weapons been banned since the 30s?
Absolutely.
Since the days of Machine Gun Kelly and Pretty Boy Floyd and Bonnie and Clyde?
Yep, went out with the Thompson. Yep, absolutely. I think it was the late 20s. They've been illegal. But to her, if it has a bayonet attachment or if it looks something from the military, therefore it's an assault weapon.
So it's a cosmetic thing.
Ridiculous.
So your Browning BAR, if you put a suppressor, not a suppressor, but if you put a barrel guard on it and a folding stock, then you've got an assault weapon, right?
Exactly. I have a high point 45 ACP with a carbine with an 18-inch barrel.
Right.
But it's black and it looks really military.
Looks evil, doesn't it? It looks evil.
Oh, it's so evil. Yeah,
they're extremely dangerous, you know. I mean, if I brought one in here and laid it on the counter here at the studio, the people would be in imminent danger. I mean, Pat in there would be shaking in his boots.
Oh, it would be a massacre.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. By itself, without somebody behind the trigger, it's just evil by itself.
Absolutely.
But if I laid a, you know, a 10-inch butcher knife on the other side of the counter here, that's just as evil, isn't it? As long as the person behind it has evil intent.
Exactly. People kill people, not weapons. You could lay a gun down for 1,000 years and no one would die.
Yeah, exactly.
Behind it.
Exactly
and
right.
If the good guys had guns like the bad guys do, then there'd be a lot less killing.
Well, that's part of the problem. We've been incrementally disarmed here in our society, especially here in Maryland. And crime, of course, in areas where criminals gather is rampant.
Absolutely. There's that book, More Weapons, Less Crime.
More Guns, Less Crime. Yeah, John Lott. Absolutely.
Yeah, every state, Florida, I mean, Virginia, Pennsylvania, any place where they have concealed carry, you know, the bad guys know the good guys got them too.
Crime, yep.
Violent crime immediately drops 30-40%.
Yep, and in England and in Australia, where handguns and other weapons have been banned, crime is criminals still find a way to get guns, don't they?
Exactly. I just don't understand why people like Feinstein can't see the forest through the trees.
Well, because she saw Harvey Milk and Mayor Moscone get murdered. That's why.
Right.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
All right, John. Take care. Talk to Richard in Westminster. Good morning, Richard. How you doing?
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
I'm not going to try to follow him. I learned something myself just now because I didn't know what the definition of an assault rifle was. I was just going to give a guess.
Now, wait a minute. There's a difference. There's no such thing as an assault rifle. There are assault weapons.
Okay, did I say assault rifle?
You said assault rifle, yeah. See, people tend to think that guns like ARs and AK-47s and things like that are assault weapons. That's something that the media and the politicians have put on those weapons.
Right. Well, it's a generalization, I guess.
It is a generalization. Anything that looks like it, anything that looks, as he said, military-ish.
Right,
you know, can be defined as that. Whether or not it's a good weapon or not a good weapon.
Right, and I was just going to, like I said, when I told your screener there,
yeah.
I have no idea what the actual definition is.
Yep,
and I don't own one. I wouldn't mind owning one. I'd like to have one.
They're fun to shoot.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have in the house for general protection purposes. But I'm guessing that a lot of people see these rifles. And when they see the large clip sticking down,
yeah,
that holds multiple, you know, 20 or plus rounds.
Well, most of them are restricted to 10 right now.
But it still looks long sticking out of the bottom.
Oh, sure, yeah,
when,
I know.
When somebody that's not familiar with anything sees that, they think of military SWAT teams and what have you.
Right.
That's just my guess.
I got you.
But I'm on my way to the hunter safety class. Later this morning, I'm taking a friend of mine and his son.
Good.
Escorting them to the hunter safety class down Howard County.
Good for you, Richard. Very good. I'll talk to you later. Thank
Sounds
you.
Sounds good, Alan. Great show.
All righty. Take care. Bye-bye. There he goes. Keith in Finksburg. Morning, Keith. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Alan. How you doing?
Good, man. What's going on?
Hey, just wanted to talk to you about the assault weapon.
Yeah.
I tell you, I have a couple of them, and they don't have extended magazines or fire suppression systems.
Right.
But if you put them down and laid them on a table in front of some politicians, it scares them.
Yeah.
Be the copy of the United States Constitution.
Oh, exactly.
It's Maryland Constitution. That would scare them.
Okay.
I don't know if you touched base on this, but I just got my license about a week ago.
Yeah.
And the lady behind the counter at the Big W
yeah.
was asking me a series of questions, and one of them was, what was my Social Security number?
Yep. Welcome to the new Compass system.
Yeah.
Now, you got your license. It printed out. The license is across the top of the page. In the middle of a page, you'll find a DNR ID card. And at the bottom, you have your harvest record. The top of the page is the license. You need to cut that out and carry that with you. The bottom is your harvest record. You need to cut that out and carry that with you. The DNR ID card, I would go to one of the office supply stores and get some of those laminating pockets.
Yeah.
Cut that card out and laminate it, because that number is your tracking number for all your transactions with the Department of Natural Resources. Anytime you do an online transaction, whether it's a bear license, whether it's a hunting license, a fishing license, it's all recorded now under that number.
Yeah, my problem was giving them the social number.
Yep, and we've discussed that at length here. It has to do with things like unpaid child support and things like that. That your Social Security has entered into the system, and they can basically say, so and so hasn't paid child support and skipped out on his last address, and now we found him over there in Finksburg.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay,
very good.
You got it.
All right.
Thanks,
care.
Keith. Bye-bye. Here he goes. Let's talk to, we got Joseph and Ron all want to talk about guns, but we got Marty Gary from the DNR. I know you're busy, Marty. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning to you, Alan.
What's up?
Hey, I just want to let you know things are off and rolling down here. We've got a beehive of full activity with about 30 or 40 of us down here getting ready for hopefully a good turnout this morning.
Well, good. How's the weather look?
I mean, it's partly cloudy. You know, we're getting a little bit of light now.
Yeah.
Calling for some storms, hopefully later.
That's what I heard, later this afternoon. Hopefully you'll get the big ceremony underway where you're giving away. Hey, Marty, while I got you.
Sure.
Maybe you can help explain this press release, because I know you're intimately involved with this. The press release that came out yesterday, the headline is $25,000 to be awarded at the Maryland Fishing Challenge finale Saturday. Here's how it starts out. Seven anglers will break sealed envelopes Saturday. Okay, and to find out if one of them will walk away with $25,000 winner. Then down below it says, over the summer, 9 anglers were lucky enough to catch Diamond Jim tag striped bass, 7 of which have already been certified as imposters.
Yeah, it's backwards, and I didn't get a chance. I didn't see that, but because everybody's been running the last couple of days to get everything together. But
yeah,
it's the inverse of that, Alan. It's 9 total is correct.
Right.
7 of which are imposters. That was stated. That's correct.
Right. So 2 people are going to crack the envelope, right?
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that slipped through, and it's the other side of it. It's the inverse of that. 2 will crack envelopes. A gentleman from Pasadena named Troy Linderburn,
right,
who may have caught the July fish, so
right,
he may win $20,000. And Betty Ankeny from Warfordsburg, Pennsylvania, caught a fish in August, and so she may, and you've done a very good job explaining this, depending on the outcome of Linderburn's envelope, Ankeny's August fish could be worth either $25,000 if Linderburn's is an imposter, or $10,000
right,
if Linderburn's is a diamond gem.
Right. We haven't had this situation in the past, have we?
No, I mean, ideally what we do is have fish certified in time that we can break that and not have, you know, a July and an August at the same time.
Right.
Mr. Linderburn's fish was caught right at the tail end of July.
Right.
And by the time he had his polygraph and we had it all certified, we were encroaching upon the last week to 10 days
right,
before the contest. So we were putting them up there, but we're pretty confident. We ran through the script yesterday that we can sort it out for everybody. I think it'll actually make for a more suspenseful finish.
Right, sure. Well, you've got 9 tagged fish that were caught that were legitimate. People have taken their polygraph test, and we know those fish were legitimate. How many tags were actually turned in altogether, not counting the 9? Were there more than 9?
No, that's all of them from this year's
draft. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, in the past, we've had number of people disqualified for various reasons. So
that's exactly right. Last year, I think we had a total of 11 that were certified and passed the polygraph, but probably 17 or 18 actually called them in.
Right.
Some people elected not to take the polygraph. You can make your own determination.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you got a hook and line, you got a commercial hook and line season going on throughout the summer, and, you know, I mean, they're you know, the fish aren't discriminating, and the commercial anglers aren't discriminating, and who knows? You know, you catch a tagged fish, you think it's worth a lot of money, somebody's going to try and take a shot, and all of a sudden you have to take a polygraph, and then, well, you know, maybe not. So it is what it is. But I was curious about that press release when I read it this morning because of what we've been talking about over the past few weeks, and I thought we had two fish that were actually breaking the envelopes, one for the July Diamond Jim and one for the August Diamond Jim. So we'll see what happens.
You bet. It's only a few hours away at this point.
Yes, indeed. So you're on site, ready to go, and the folks will be coming in there now, starting at the registration is when?
Starts at 7 o'clock, so Paul Genovese will be the first person that meets and greets the folks as they come in, and they will be coming in from all over.
Yep.
And Paul will be there, and we've got folks that are PhDs and shellfish biologists and statisticians and analysts and all sorts of people, and they're happy to come down here and give their time this morning to greet and mingle with all the folks that are coming down. It's going to be one big happy family here in Fisheries Service greeting all the anglers.
So the folks that you mentioned, the PhDs and the statisticians, are going to mingle with the hoi polloi today, huh?
Yeah, they're going to be down there. They're going to be parking cars, and it's great. I mean, these guys and gals are all just, you know, they're just like the anglers down there. They all like to hunt and fish.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're good people. You've met a lot of them.
I've met a lot. I'm just kidding you. I know who they are.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely.
Sure. But just the main message is we're down here. We put a lot of effort and energy, you know, from Fisheries Service and the rest of DNR to make
Marty, as you know, I'm always in support of the folks that have the boots on the ground and that do the hard work. From everybody from those system analysts to the boots on the ground biologists that are out there collecting fish samples and scraping off sales and measuring fish and weighing fish and tagging fish and all that. They all do a great job to contribute to the science of our fisheries management here in Maryland. And, you know, we have to have it. We just have to have it. So, again, the Maryland Fishing Challenge has been this is sixth year, Marty? Fifth year, sixth year?
This is our eighth year.
Eighth year for the Maryland Fishing Challenge.
Started in 2005.
Yeah.
And now our eighth year.
Wow. Good.
Time goes by quickly.
It certainly does. So, look, have a good time down there. And I'm not sure if I'll see you or not. I've had a couple things, family things come up last night. And so we're going to see what we have to do here today. So maybe I'll see you. Maybe I'll see you. Maybe I won't. But either way, you know, my thoughts are with you guys.
Well, awesome. Alan, thank you for all your support and all the good words this year.
Indeed. Thanks, Marty.
Thank you.
Have a great day. There he goes. Where'd he go? Oh, there he goes. Okay. Yes, indeed. So we are way past a break. We got Joseph from Glen Burnie. We've got Ron in White Marsh. We've got Chris in Ellicott City. If you guys could hold on, I greatly appreciate that. Very much so. And I want to tell you about Pete Cycle. They're having a Polaris open house hunting event, ATV hunting event of the season for Saturday, September 22nd. Now, Pete Cycle's having a deer hunting clinic with Tracy Groves at 10:30. This is the Baltimore store. And a waterfowl mini clinic with John Akerst at 11:30 in the Baltimore store. Now, hunting vendors will also be on site from 10 to 2. You can save up to $1,000 on 2012 Polaris ATVs and Rangers. Financing as low as 2.99% available, and you can save up to 25% on parts and accessory. Don't miss Pete Cycle's Polaris open house at all three locations in the town of Bel Air, Severna Park, or in Baltimore. And the Baltimore location where the seminars are going to take place is in Overly, just below exit 32A inside the Beltway. South on Bel Air Road. They're on the left-hand side. For more information, visit Pete Cycle on the web at PeteCycle.com. That's PeteCycle.com. Polaris adult models are for riders age 16 and older. Always wear a helmet. Be sure to take a training course. Polaris Rangers are not intended for street use.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Joan Jones. It's time to start paying closer attention to what's going on in Washington, and not just because of the presidential and congressional elections. Some big changes will kick in at the beginning of next year if the Bush tax cuts are allowed to expire and other tax changes fall into place, and that could have a big impact on you. The top tax rate on ordinary income and short-term capital gains could jump more than 4.5 percentage points, from 35% to 39.6%, and the top rate on long-term capital gains is set to jump from 15% to 20%. The rate on qualified dividends, now capped at 15%, would be taxed at the same rates as ordinary income. If you are sitting on any long-term capital gains and you're looking to sell soon, it might make sense to take gains in 2012. The investment management firm Eaton Vance has a useful online tool that can help you figure out the best time to take gains. But again, keep tabs on Washington. Congress could still pass legislation that changes everything. I'm Joan Jones with the Wall Street Journal.
Safelite Repair, Safelite Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safelite Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safelite, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, Safelite has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want Safelite, or call 1-800-800-2727, or go to safelite.com.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29, and thanks to my college degree, I'm a systems analyst. And the college me would tell you,
I wouldn't be here without big brothers, big sisters. My big brother believed in me, and to a 7-year-old,
that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil, and Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Big Buck Scents Cold Scent has a fast-growing reputation for attracting big Maryland bucks. Several friends of mine have used Cold Scent with great results. Big Bucks, Maryland's Eastern Shore's home to Big Buck Scents. Big Buck Cold Scent is different than those mass-produced bottles you see on every shelf. First, it's one deer to one bottle. That's a 4-ounce bottle, too, plenty for the rut. Now, the deer urine is collected and immediately refrigerated. It's kept cold, and the vital elements will not break down and become less attractive. Trust me, there's a science behind all this. Big Buck Scents arrives at your local dealer cold in its own refrigerator. You keep it cold till you use it, and you will see the results. Try Cold Scent Vanilla Bean, Doe in Heat, Dominant Buck, or Doe Pea in the 4-ounce bottle. For more information, visit the website BigBuckScents.com or visit your local dealer. Ask for and use Cold Scent by Big Buck Scents. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, we're back. Okay, let's talk to Joseph in Glen Burnie. He's been waiting a long time. Thanks for waiting, Joe.
Oh, you're very welcome. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. My thing is, if you read the Constitution,
yep,
the phrase in there, shall not be infringed.
Right.
I don't think any gun control laws are legal, and I think that like the gentleman you just had on, if he really seriously takes his oath to the Constitution, he would not infringe on anybody who has any kind of gun. Because, and if you also read in the Maryland Declaration of Rights, Article 28, it talks about the militia.
Yeah.
Well, we are the militia. We are supposed to be armed. And then Article 29 talks about how we're not supposed to have a standing army.
Right.
If we need an army, we bring up the militia. And I think is. And, you know, it all started back in 1934 under Roosevelt with him doing, you know, the first gun control law.
Yep.
And I just think that anybody that owns a gun should just carry it all the time. And if enough of us did, we would turn this tyranny around. And that's the problem, where people want to, you know, follow the rules, like they're talking about a Social Security number to go hunting. If I'm on my land and I want to go hunting, I'm going hunting.
Well, if you're on your land, if
DNR comes after me, you know what, that man better be prepared.
Well, that sounds like a threat, Joseph, and I don't think
you know what? I think that's what actually what we have to do with these government officials. Take their arsenality. I was down at the Anne Arundel County Council. They put two SWAT team officers on a young lady because she went to speak for more than 2 minutes. This country, people need to wake up. Our rights are being eroded, and if people don't wake up, we're in communist Russia. If you look at the Communist Manifesto, we are doing 8 of the Communist Manifesto, and there's 10 planks in them. Your property rights. If you can't hunt on your land and DNR is going to come on it, how do you own that property? You don't.
Joseph.
The state of Maryland owns that property at that point.
Joseph.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Are you familiar with the hunting laws on your own property?
No, go ahead and explain them to me.
Well, very briefly, you are not required to have a license to hunt on your own property. But you do need to abide by the seasons and the bag limits.
Well, I know this. I was up with family members up in Western Maryland, and the DNR was not invited on the man's property, and they came on his property. I don't see how under the Fourth Amendment, you need a warrant.
Okay. Joseph, calm down. Calm down. You're just way out there here this morning. You're sounding excited, and you don't need to be. We're just having a conversation.
I understand.
Okay. So there are, for the most part, courteous law enforcement officials. We were checked this week by Natural Resources Police, along with federal agents. There were 2 and 2. And for the most part, they were very respectful and did what they had to do. And the results were not good, even though there were no citations written. But, you know, everybody was courteous. Everybody played by the book and by the rules, and everything was fine. And they were not invited. So,
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Did the federal agents get permission from the sheriff to be actually operating in the county you were in?
Look, I didn't talk to any of them. I have no idea.
Because in the Constitution, the sheriff is the leading law enforcement agent in the county, and any federal agent who's operating in his county is supposed to check in with the sheriff.
Okay. I don't know the answer to that, Joseph, but I thank you for your call. Thank you very much. Let's talk to Ron in White Marsh. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. I listen to you every week. I really enjoy.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. I've got a question. I got a neighbor that bought a Barrett Model 95 sniper rifle. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am.
Okay. His problem, he buys it, and now he's trying to find out where he can fire it.
Right. Is that the 50 caliber?
That's a 50 caliber, yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He may have to go to a private gun range, and there are a couple of them. I don't know that any of the public ranges will allow him to carry that, but he can certainly call Associated Gun Clubs range in Marriottsville. He can call the Hap Baker Firearms Facility in Carroll County. He can call Glenbrook Rifle and Pistol Association, if that's what they're still called. He can call Baltimore County Fish and Game. I would simply call around and tell them what you have. And then if that doesn't work, there are some private facilities. I know Alexander Farm over there in Kent County has a private range. I know there's a private range in, I believe it's Wicomico County at Delmarva Sporting Clays. And you might want to just go online and look for public shooting ranges on the DNR website and see if there is a facility. You know, he's just going to have to make a number of phone calls.
Okay.
You know, the only other alternative he has that I would can think of is that he can find a farmer, a private landowner who wants to shoot that thing and, you know, will allow him to have permission to hunt.
Sure, sure.
That's all I can tell you. I don't know of any of the public ranges that allow that. That 50 caliber because it is such a giant, monstrous round.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I admire the guy for getting behind the stock of it, to be honest with you.
He's 68 years old. I don't know how long he's going to be shooting it, though. I mean, can I ask you one more question?
Sure. Yeah, they're pretty heavy. You know, their recoil is suppressed just simply because of the weight.
Right. It's 23 and a half pound. That's how much.
Yeah, that's a big gun.
I wanted to ask you, Will the federal government every year come out and check to see if that weapon is in his still in his possession? Like they do, you know, with machine guns, if you have a stamp to have a machine gun.
Say that again.
Would the federal government be coming out to his house once a year to make sure that weapon was still in his possession?
I don't know the answer to that. Why would they?
I don't know, because of the caliber. I don't think so.
I don't think that's.
They probably wouldn't do it then.
No, it's not an illegal firearm. I mean, if he had the cake to purchase the thing, you know, and he went through the system and everything else,
sure,
he shouldn't
sure.
have any shouldn't have any problems.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Alan. Thank
All right, brother.
You very much
thanks,
for your
Ron.
Information.
No problem. Thanks for
have
listening.
A good day.
See ya. All right, Chris in Ellicott City. Thanks for waiting. How you doing?
Doing great. Good morning.
Good morning. What's up?
Well, I snap a grouper fish out of North Carolina primarily.
Okay.
I'm up here in Maryland. My wife is a traveling nurse, so
sure.
Visiting your beautiful area here, and
yeah,
people recommend that I call it into your show and
great.
About what's happening.
Well, tell me about snapper grouper fishing. I mean, let me tell you what I know about it. Now, do you operate a charter boat, a head boat?
A commercial fish.
You commercial fish. Okay, so it's a commercial fishery for you. It's an income for you. You don't take parties out.
And no, sir. I've done that in the past. I worked on charter boats.
Yeah. I've done that out of the east coast of Florida. Caught snappers and groupers on those big party boats that go out and fish on the wrecks. You use a 12-ounce weight and a piece of bait, and you chuck it down there, and I caught some pretty nice grouper and some pretty nice snappers out of off those wrecks on the east coast of Florida. But tell me about your how you do it.
Well, we do it basically the same way. We use two hooks down, sometimes even one hook with up to. Yeah, you know, sometimes 2 or 3 pounds of lead, because we'll fish as deep as 600 feet of water sometimes.
Yep.
And so when those fish come up, you probably notice they get the bends.
Oh, yeah.
Compression damage a lot of times.
Yep.
So many of those fish, when you discard them, they die.
Yep.
And so what's happening is our quotas have been reduced.
Right.
We're not properly managing those quotas with possession limits. Like you have a bag limit on the recreational side.
Right.
We should have poundage limits.
Right.
Set according to the size of the quota.
Right.
And adjusted through the year to levels that fill that quota without the closures that we're having now. Because you saw where you catch, four or five or seven times, sometimes different species on any one given area.
Right.
That structure. And so what we're doing is when we have these closures, we're having to discard all these fish that we accidentally catch that are illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Again, many of them are dying. So I went to the fishery managers and offered solutions on how to limit that waste by managing the quotas with split seasons and possession limits that were adjusted through the course of that season to levels that filled each quota without a closure. And you could target fish with the high limit while still keeping the ones with the lower limit.
Right. How'd that work out?
Well, they told me to take it out of Congress if I didn't like what they were doing. And, so the politicians really didn't care to hear from one fisherman without any money to donate. So I started basically my own campaign to inform the public of what's happening and try to get their support for some of these solutions.
Do you have a website, Chris?
Yes, sir, I do. It's freefish7.com.
Freefish7? Free fish?
Free fish. F-R-E-E. F-I-S-H, number 7.
Uh-huh, .com. All right, let me check it out.
Yeah, and the fishery plan page is what I'm trying to get people to read on there, because that's the gist of the public comments I've been given to the South Atlantic Fishery Management Council. And I'm headed down to Charleston, South Carolina next week to go give public comments
right.
about the fifth time now. And what I'm hoping people will do is if you read those comments and you agree with what they say and how we can eliminate that waste in our fisheries, just send an email with a statement of support to the South Atlantic Council. And they start hearing from hundreds of people before I get down there next Thursday and give those comments. My voice will carry more weight with it. And hopefully we can have a much more responsible harvest of our seafood without all of that waste.
Okay. Did we do what you needed to do there today, buddy?
Hey, yes, sir. I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Well, actually, yes. You mentioned 7 types of fish that you catch on these deep water wrecks. Some are targeted and some are not.
Yes, sir.
What are those 7 species, if you can tick them off?
Okay, well, we'll have, the grouper. You'll have several species of those, red grouper, gag grouper, scamp, fireback. Then you have several species of snapper, vermilion snapper, silver snapper, the American red snapper, silky snapper. Then you have triggerfish, and and some of the deeper water, you have a fish called a tilefish.
Right, we have tilefish here, yep.
Yeah, and so you have the golden.
Now, are there commercial limits on all those fish at the time, or are there not?
Yes, sir. Yeah, they've established quotas on all of these fish now.
And, right.
I'm not against quotas. I'm not happy with the way they set those up.
Cause right.
What they call fatally flawed data and the rush to meet mandates in the Magnuson-Stevens Act.
Right. So who? So
well aware of.
Yes, I am. So who are you? Who is the providing the biggest obstacle? Is this a state issue or is this a federal issue?
It's a federal issue.
Right.
The South Atlantic Fishery Management Council is basically underneath of the National Marine Fisheries Service, which is underneath of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And so they kind of send you in a circle. Then when they told me to take it to the Congress, basically, like I said, if I didn't like what they're doing.
Right.
I've been traveling around the Southeast. Mostly now I'm branching out. I made my way all the way to California, talking to fishermen and trying to get us to unite behind.
Have you talked to any of the commercial fishing organizations here in Maryland?
Not in Maryland. Well, a little bit. Actually, no, sir, not in Maryland. In Virginia, on my way back to North Carolina last time, I stopped through there and talked to quite a few of the fishermen along the Chesapeake Bay.
Right.
But I'm headed over to Ocean City next time I'm up here. Like I said, I've got to go to Charleston next week.
Right.
I do want to go and try to talk to them. The biggest problem we're having, really, at the head of NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, is Jane Lubchenco.
Yes, we're very familiar with her.
Okay, well, she's very anti-fishing, period, commercial or recreational, and she's advancing a system called catch shares. And I feel like they're mismanaging our quotas in order to try to get fishermen to accept those catch shares, which basically puts the small independent fishermen out of business and allocates private ownership of our public resources.
Do you have any? Let me ask you a question. Do you have any problems with the Environmental Defense Fund?
Yes, sir, I do. They will not even talk to me because they push for those catch shares. And when I offered these solutions on the possession limits, managing the quotas, you know, I asked them, will you just agree with that in the short term? We have the discussion in the long term for the catch shares and work it out. Because I'm not against talking to anybody. I'm in the middle of a discussion with Pew Charitable Trust right now, actually Jane Lubchenco worked for before being the head of NOAA.
Exactly. Good luck with that.
Yeah, well, actually, it's going very well, and
good.
That's on my website as well, the Pew Discussion page, if you want to read that.
Holiday. All right, well, look, every now and then, Chris, drop me an email. We have to move along here. I need to take a break, and I need to talk to some other callers, but every now and then, drop me an email. My email address is ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, and I will be more than glad to check out your website and see what's going on with that.
All right, great. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. There he goes. Man, there's a man dedicated to his cause. That's for sure. Let's talk to Bruce in Parkville. Good morning, Bruce. How you doing? Thanks for holding.
Yeah, I was listening to him. The last thing he said about the federal government and everything, and I totally agree with him. I think when it comes to everything in this country, that things are going to change pretty soon, right? November?
Let's hope so.
What do you mean? Let's
hope things change. If they remain the same, we're all in a bucket of spit. That's for sure.
No, I don't. I mean, I liked what the guy was talking about, and everything was fine. But he said everybody tries to call the federal government and state agencies, and nothing gets done.
Well, that's because of who's in charge of NOAA and who's in charge of the administration right now. You don't know what's going on. I bring you some of it, but there's so much going on.
Honestly, I could talk for a lot on that because I definitely know something about. Now I'm a stamp collector in the way the post office and everything's going down. They're not funded by the federal state governments, all the post office and all the guys, if you know it about everything.
Well, Bruce, let's get to your point. What about a Winchester rifle? What do you want to talk about?
Oh, my Winchester rifle. Okay, I got a Winchester rifle. It's 1875, and I was wondering if everybody, would know what's it worth.
What's the caliber?
Well, on a Winchester.
Yes. What's the caliber? Do you know?
Yeah, 45.
It's a 45 caliber Winchester rifle.
Right.
From 1875.
Right.
I don't know offhand. We're quickly running out of time, but would you mind leaving your phone number with our producer and let me call you off the air?
Yeah, okay.
All right, hold on. There goes Bruce. Frank, in Parkville. Hey, Frank, how you doing?
Yeah, appreciate your comments, and you run a good program there. Listen, Alan, in a Shotgun News on page 9, there's a nice article about this family business in Deming, New Mexico, where the feds cleaned them out and took everything they had.
Right.
Did you read it?
No.
Well, you get a chance, look it up, because, I mean, it's getting terrible.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I've been doing some shooting, and a while back I was at a private place up here in Pennsylvania, and these two spooks come in with a black Lincoln, the black suits, looking around, and one of them asked this other fellow's with it, had an AK, it was fully automatic, if he wanted to sell it. The guy whipped out $2,500, he had a big roll of cash, you know, so to make a long story short, when he left, he come down this way, and when he got off at Towson, they were behind him all the way down the road, but he didn't have that firearm in his car because somebody else had taken it.
Right.
Because he was waiting for them to stop him and, you know, say, look, you either give it to us or we're going to, you know, we're going to lock you up. But another thing, Alan, in the Washington Post and then page 10 of the Sun yesterday, that Major Nadal Hassan had shot them troops in Fort Hood there 2 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Did you see that?
No.
He's still getting full benefits,
yep.
Alan.
Yes, he is.
And listen,
he hasn't been tried yet.
Yeah, and during the Second World War, that kid Slovak from Detroit, because his unit was overrun, and then they put him in another unit. He was a cook, and he refused to go back in on the line. They shot him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this guy, this ain't right, Alan. They're appeasing these Muslims all the way down the line.
Well, that's another discussion for another show. Thank
you,
Frank. I appreciate it. Have a good day, and we got to take a break. Hey, Clyde Sports Shop. You know, bow season started yesterday, but if you're not ready, well, you still can. Parker crossbows and Kotobo crossbows are all available at Clyde Sports Shop. They carry Quest and G5 and Diamond bows as well. Parker vertical bows, compound bows too. Don't forget Thompson Center muzzle loaders like the Triumph, the Omega, and the Encore, all available at Clyde Sports Shop, the area's largest Thompson Center dealer. Now, on the archery thing again, let me back up just a second. They do carry arrows and broadheads and accessories, and they do tuning and setup of your bow. For fishermen? Yeah, they've got the razor clams. Last weekend for razor clams and live spot. They'll continue as long as they can. Live spot for you bottom fishermen who are live lining out there. Dove loads and decoys and everything you need for goose hunting as well. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, 410-242-6108. That's 242-6108. Website is clydesports.com. They are open 7 days a week. They do have gunsmithing services. And the fishing hotline is 410-247-3474. 247-FISH for Clyde Sports Shop. It's the Doe Harvest Challenge. Deer hunters, by legally harvesting a doe and donating the meat, you not only feed hungry people in Maryland and please local farmers by reducing crop damage, now you could win valuable prize packages this season. Doe Harvest Challenge offers $5,500 in prizes with 18 chances to win. This contest is limited to 13 counties. If you hunt in Carroll, Frederick, Anne Arundel, Calvert, Charles, St. Mary's, or Prince George's counties, or in Queen Anne's, Kent, Caroline, Talbot, Dorchester, Wicomico counties on the shore, and you harvest a doe, all you have to do is donate your deer through a participating FHFH deer processor. Every 3 weeks, an up to $300 winner will be drawn in each of the three regions, plus a $500 grand prize package to one lucky hunter in each region. Participating deer processors have entry cards to fill out in their shops. You can enter every doe you donate within the Region B bag limits all season long. The 2012 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Farm Bureau, Maryland Grain Producers Utilization Board, the Maryland Soybean Board, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, contact the Maryland Farm Bureau, 410-922-3426. Hey, Pete Cycle. It's a Polaris Hunting ATV open house. Their Polaris open house and hunting event of the season is Saturday, September 22nd from 10 to 2 at all three locations in the town of Bel Air, Severna Park, and at the Baltimore store. Now, at the Baltimore store, that's located in Overly, just south of exit 32A on Bel Air Road on the left-hand side. At 10:30, Tracy Groves is going to be there with a deer hunting mini clinic, and then following that, at 11:30, John Akerst will be there with a goose hunting and waterfowl hunting mini clinic as well. Hunting vendors will be on hand. Stop by, because you can save up to $1,000 on 2012 Polaris ATVs and Rangers. Financing as low as 2.99% is available. Save up to 25% on parts and accessories. Don't miss the Pete's Cycle Hunting and ATV event, September 22nd at all three locations from 10 to 2. For more information, visit PetesCycle.com. Polaris adult models are for riders age 16 and older. Always wear a helmet. Be sure to take a training course. Polaris Rangers are not intended for street use. That's the Pete Cycle Hunting and ATV event, September 22nd, 10 to 2. All three locations, PetesCycle.com. Hey, this is Alan Ellis for Bay Linux at Glen Burnie. I can do this commercial standing on my head because I have a Linux bedliner and have had a Linux bedliner in my trucks for the last 7 or 8 years. And I got to tell you, they clean up like new. It doesn't matter what you throw in the back of your truck. You're not going to hurt them. They do prevent water from, you know, sticking in the corners and causing rust in the bed. They're not like those drop-in liners, you know, that slide all over the place and scratch your bed all up. Water collects underneath there. You get rust and dirt and grime under there. Nope, a Linux bed liner is permanent, and it is just a great, great addition to your truck. It's even available in the color to match your truck, too. That's the Linux Extra, and that one is protected with DuPont Kevlar as well. But where you get this great Linux bedliner? Bay Linux at Glen Burnie, 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. You can visit them online at baylinux.com. Bobby Hawkins is the man. Here's his phone number, 410-789-0199. Again, that's 410-789-0199. Visit baylinux.com or stop by Bay Linux. They're in Glen Burnie. For information on how you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card just by mentioning the Outdoorsman Radio Show or Ellis Outdoors. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie. The Buck Bomb is the hottest deer scent technology on the market. The Buck Bomb is pure deer urine manufactured in an aerosol spray. Now, the Buck Bomb, distributed in this molecular form, gives whitetails the opportunity to follow the scent trail to your stand site. The delivery rate and the large broadcast area cannot be duplicated with liquid, solid, or gel scents. Buck Bomb Doe Pea and Vanilla Curiosity work well any time to disguise your odor. Pick up a can of Young Buck or Acorn Rage for the bow season. For early muzzle loader, the dominant buck scent will challenge other bucks to seek you out. And now the heart of the rut through firearm season, try Doe and Estrus or Bone Collector Buck Bomb. Visit your local outdoor retailer or you can order online at buckbomb.com. Learn more about the Buck Bomb or you can call 866-850-6653. And fishermen, you can try the new Fish Bomb Menhaden Quick Slick from the makers of Buck Bomb. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart, increase your odds with the Buck Bomb. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, we're back. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Sorry about the long break there. We just skipped one in the middle, so we had to do a little makeup there. 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. If you'd like to talk about what we talked about, you're welcome to do so. If you'd like to talk about something else, you're welcome to talk about that, too, as well. Let's see. I had a story here. It can always wait, but it's kind of a fun story. I got to find it. There's so much stuff floating around here. It's unbelievable. Maybe I'll find it. Maybe I won't. Let's see. I do want to tell you that the Baltimore County Game and Fish Protective Association is going to conduct a muzzleloader sight-in on Saturday, October 6th from 9 to 3. That's on the club grounds, 3400 Northwind Road in Kearney. $5 per gun to sight in your muzzleloader. You can give Robert Batchelor a call at 410-592-9276. And that number again is 592-9276. It's a muzzleloader sight-in day. Also, today at the Baltimore County Game and Fish, there on Northwind Road, is their annual gun show. So you might want to stop in and see what's going on with that day today, too. Just go up there and, you know, take the family, have a good day there. All right, here's what I wanted to tell you. And then we got to, I'm not going to have time to do it. Too long. But I do want to tell you one more time about our friends at Tochterman's, downtown Baltimore. I'll be there a little later today. I'll be talking to Tony and seeing what's new for fall. But if you're getting ready for fall fishing, let me recommend Tochterman's. All fishing, all the time. If you're going for Bass, you talk to Gene, and they've got all the lures and all the latest techniques and all the line and technical information that you need. Striper, you got it. Bottom fishing, they got it. Fly fishing, you talk to Joe. They got a complete fly fishing section. Where is this wonderful store located? Well, downtown Baltimore, 1925 Eastern Avenue in Fells Point. That is Tochterman's. They've been there since 1916. Can you imagine that? They have rod and reel repair. They can put new line on your spool. They've got all the latest. They've got Yeti coolers, all the latest lures, all the, you know, 1,000 fishing rods on display, 600 fishing reels, and don't forget the best bloodworms, not only just in Maryland, but in the universe. That's right. That's a big statement, but I mean it. The best bloodworms in the universe. Tochterman's at 1925 Eastern Avenue, Fells Point, 410-327-6942, 410-327-6942. And don't forget our buddies at Clyde Sports Shop. Check out the Kotobo crossbows. Check out the Thompson Center muzzleloaders. Check out the Parker crossbows, the Parker vertical bows. The Quest G5 is a bow that is fully assembled, ready to hunt. Just sight it in and practice with it. The Diamond also is a bow manufactured by Bowtech, available at Clyde Sports Shop. They do arrows, broadheads, accessories, tuning, and setup. Stop by and see them. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Just off Beltway exit number 9, 410-242-6108, www.clydessports.com. If you have any, if you need any information on the Outdoors and Radio Show, Ellis Outdoors, Maryland Hunting Quarterly, Maryland Loves Crabs Magazine, or any of our sponsors, go to the website, ellisoutdoors.com, ellisoutdoors.com. You can email me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. And guess what? On Boston Street, 3500 Boston Street. Next week, Delmarva's Southern Cafe is opening. Dave Levitt is co-owner. Dave is the guy that writes the recipes.